Well, a very happy new year to you all, and I hope the new year has started well for you. You've not had 24 hours yet of it, so I hope it's all going fairly well so far. And I hope that you managed to see the new year in whatever way was the best and most appropriate for you. For some, that would have been having an enjoyable party with friends. For others, you may have been here seeing the new year in at our watch night service. And if that is you and you've made it here this evening, that is particularly good to see you. Or maybe you made a particularly wise decision and went to bed early and saw the new year in by getting a good night's sleep, which may be a very appropriate thing to do. We all have different traditions, don't we? Different things that we want to do, we think are necessary to start the new year well, to see the new year in. And as you think about the coming year, and as you look forward to what the new year may hold, it may be that you've got various things that you want to be able to achieve. And perhaps you've already put together your New Year's resolutions. It's a popular thing to think about. People talk a lot about New Year's resolutions. Maybe people have been asking you over the coming past couple of weeks, what are your New Year's resolutions going to be? Maybe you've been asked that already today as you met with people, as you came in to the service. Perhaps you were asked, what is your New Year's resolution? What are you going to do over this coming year? Well, as I was preparing for this sermon, I started to look at some of the statistics, and I was surprised to find that for all the talk that we give about New Year's resolutions, only just over a third of people actually make them. So we may talk a lot about them, but only a third of us will probably actually make a New Year's resolution. And so I wonder, are you one of those people? Have you already decided what you're going to focus on for this coming year? Maybe you've already got a list in your mind, or maybe you're the kind of person who woke up this morning and thought, goodness me, it's crept off of me, it's the 1st of January, I probably ought to think of what my focus is going to be this year. Well, let me give you a few suggestions. I looked up the top 10 of the New Year's resolutions that people make. Number 7 is a classic one, to give up smoking. So if that's you, if you wonder if my voice means that I ought to give up smoking, it's not because I smoked a couple of packets before I came this evening. It's unfortunately due to the cold. So maybe I ought to do the number 5, eat better and boost my immune system. Number 6 on the list is to learn something new. Maybe that skill that you've always wanted or that language that you've always wanted to master is going to be your New Year's resolution. And number 3 on the list is to spend less and to save more, which after Christmas is probably one of our top ones as well. And the top resolution, I wonder if you can guess it, the number one resolution, and I looked at this in the United States and in the UK, and it's exactly the same, the number one resolution that people make is to lose weight. I'm grateful that this wonderful pulpit sort of masks the fact that I need to make that one of my resolutions as well. So we talk a lot about resolutions, we've maybe made resolutions, we think about resolutions as being something that's popular and purposeful. But you see, resolutions of the new year also come with a problem. And we know what that is, don't we? We're just not very good at keeping them. We can make them, we can write them on the first page of our diary, our new brand new diary that we got for Christmas, 1st of January, these are my New Year's resolutions, but we know how easily we break them. Yeah, if you've made your New Year's resolution to get fitter, to get healthier, and you've got a brand new gym membership, and off you go to the gym, maybe you've been to the gym today on the 1st of January, maybe you think, well, Sunday, I can have Sunday off, tomorrow I'll go. Well, that's a bank holiday, isn't it? Well, okay, Tuesday I'll go. And you'll find the gym is packed with people who have got exactly the same idea. But come back at the end of January, and there's no problem at all getting on any of those machines that you might want to use, because all those people who started off so eagerly at the beginning of January seem to have drifted away. And the statistics bear this out. Apparently, 1/4 of people will have broken their New Year's resolution by the end of the first week. 1/4. I hope if you've made a New Year's resolution, you haven't broken it yet, but it's likely that you will do before too long. Around 40% have broken their New Year's resolution by 1 month, and most people will have broken it before the year is out. And we might therefore ask, well, why is that? And there can be lots of reasons, but I think ultimately is because we try to make unrealistic changes, perhaps with the best intentions, but trying to fulfill them by our willpower alone. And that means, frankly, we set ourselves up to fail. And I was fascinated by at least one expert that I was reading about recently who says we would be better off thinking, rather than our resolutions, to think instead about goals for the new year. And that's because unlike a set of resolutions, a goal doesn't target simply a list of things to do. Yeah, I ought to go to the gym 3 times a week, or I ought to eat 5 pieces of fruit or vegetable each day. Instead, a goal takes aim at our desires. It begins to ask us questions like, what is it that you want out of life? What kind of person do you want to be in this coming year? So the question we should begin to ask ourselves is, what do I want for 2017? What is my goal? What is my aim? What is my desire? And I wonder what comes into your mind as you think about that. I'm sure there are plenty of goals and desires that we could name. But the Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3 helps direct us to the best aim and desire and goal that we can have for the coming year. So look down with me as we see what the Apostle Paul's New Year resolution should be and what he encourages our resolution to be. And it is very simple. It is this: to know Christ. To know Christ. Look with me at verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says his resolution is this: it is to know Christ. And while it's very simply put, it might seem rather simplistic and frankly an obvious objective to have. To know Christ. I mean, after all, this is the Apostle Paul who is writing this. This is the apostle who met the risen Christ dramatically on the Damascus Road. As he was going to persecute the church, as he was absolutely opposed to the Christian message, to the gospel message, so Christ met him decisively, turned his life around. The scales were literally lifted from his eyes. He could see perfectly. He had met Christ. Surely it is strange for the apostle to say, I want to know Christ. But you see, what Paul is saying here is that knowing Christ isn't just a one-time event. Yes, Paul came to know Christ decisively on that day on the Damascus Road. But he knows that for a Christian, it is about a lifetime of knowing Christ deeper and better, of deepening our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not unlike a marriage. I'm married to Louise, and when we got married, I knew a lot about Louise. I knew a great deal about what she liked and what she didn't like. I knew what her birthday was. I knew that if we were having dinner, I shouldn't serve her carrots because she doesn't like carrots at all. I knew a great deal about her on our wedding day. Well, that was 18 years ago. We've been married for over 18 years now, and I can safely say that I know Louise much better now than on our wedding day. Yes, I knew lots then, but I know even more now. And I can certainly say, hand on heart, that I still have a great deal to learn about what makes her tick, about the kind of person she is, about what she likes and what pleases her. And so Paul says, look, it's not about just that decisive moment on the Damascus Road. I want to know Christ more and more, day by day, every single day, until that day when Christ returns and I see him again face to face. Paul wants, above all else, to deepen his knowledge, his relationship with Jesus Christ, his Lord. And you see, Paul knew that this was far better than focusing on what he could achieve himself, what he could do by his own efforts. You see, Paul, I think, was tremendously good at keeping New Year's resolutions. He says so himself in verses 4 to 6. Look, he says, as far as self-improvement goals are concerned, no one has got a patch on me, says Paul. If someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, that is, trust in what they can achieve, if anyone else has reasons to put together a New Year's resolution list, well, I have more, says Paul. Look at all the things that I can say about myself. Look at all the things that I've done. No one was going to meet him. In terms of resolutions to achieve by his own effort, Paul is faultless. He was full of zeal. In regards to the law, he was a Pharisee. He was a learned man. And righteousness according to the law, he was faultless. I'm fairly sure that if Paul said on January the 1st, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week, he would be there 3 times a week, and you'd find him there in December as well. But you see, for all of his accomplishments, for all the effort and energy that he could put in, Paul considers every single one of those things on his list worthless. In fact, he says that they're less than worthless. He calls them garbage. Actually, more literally, dung. It's the kind of thing that you would not just want sort of around and about, but you don't really pay attention to. It's the kind of thing you want to actively throw away. It's the stuff that you left accidentally in the fridge when you went away for Christmas. And you come back in the new year and realize it's rather grown, bigger than you expected and smelling disgusting. You don't keep it in the fridge. You throw it away. So says Paul, those things that I did by my own efforts, that I could achieve myself, they're not just worthless, they are to be discarded and thrown away, compared, he says, to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, at the start of this new year, Paul wants us to understand, he wants us to grasp that the most worthwhile thing that a Christian can pursue is knowing Christ better. That was true for Paul in around AD 60 when he wrote this letter, and it is vitally true for us in 2017. Because, you know, it's very easy to fill our lives and to fill our year with activity and with stuff to do that perhaps even seems very worthy on the surface, but actually doesn't aim at knowing Christ better. Let me give you an example. Let's take a very Christian New Year's resolution to read the Bible more. Now, that is a great thing to do. Don't get me wrong. If you've got a reading plan that you've come up with, and this morning you sat down and you thought, right, I'm going to start this reading plan, and all the way through the year I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to be more disciplined at reading your Bible. I commend you for that. I have done the same, and I hope that we keep each other accountable to doing that. Let's say, for instance, you have a plan to read the Bible in a year. Well, that's a great thing. But let me ask you, why are you doing it? Is it with the aim of opening up God's living word to encounter his living word in the person of Jesus? Is it to know Christ more? Or is it actually because you feel you ought to? Yeah, it's a nice thing to say that you've done. You can kind of say, well, yes, I've read the Bible cover to cover. I've done my Bible reading plan. I've ticked every box, and once I get to December the 31st, I can feel that sense of accomplishment. It's a vital question to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Because it will change our attitude when things go wrong. You see, when I miss a day of my reading plan, which I inevitably will do, because I forget, and I get distracted, and I make excuses, and frankly, just my self-discipline lets me down. When I miss a day, the question is, what will I do? You see, if I make the achievement the main thing, I will simply just give up. If it's all about ticking the right boxes and making sure that I keep my resolution, well, as soon as I fail, well, that's it. It's out the window. I might as well give up now. But you see, if my aim is to know Christ Jesus better, to know Jesus as my Lord more and more each day, if that is the main thing, well, then I will continue. And I won't worry if my one-year Bible reading plan actually takes me 18 months. Because the plan's not the main thing. The main thing is knowing Jesus better. To know Jesus through his word, day by day, to encounter him and to know him more and more. You see, our aim for this year should be the same as our aim for every year. To know Christ better. Now, do you notice what Paul says here in verse 10? He says that this aim comes with power. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. You see, this is one of the things that makes this stand out from our normal New Year's resolutions. You see, this doesn't depend on my effort and my willpower. Hallelujah. That is a wonderful thing. It is not because of my efforts. It is the power of Christ's resurrection that is work in us by his Spirit. And that is truly something to rejoice about. However daunted we may feel at the start of the year, as we start with this aim in mind to know Christ better, we can know it is Christ by the power of his resurrection at work in us to do just that. There is power. But there is also participation, says Paul in verse 10. Participation in his sufferings. Now that sounds a whole less pleasant, doesn't it? Wouldn't it be great if we could stop at the first part and talk about the power? Here is Christ at work in us by his power, and leave aside all that stuff about participating in his sufferings. But you see, Paul is helping us to see that knowing Jesus is not a transaction. It's not about I follow you and then you provide me with power. It is instead about a relationship. So imagine you had a friend who was very willing to come and receive birthday and Christmas presents, who was very willing to turn up at your parties that you throw, but whenever life turned tough, just disappeared and was nowhere to be seen. If you had a friend like that, you probably wouldn't consider them a friend at all. So with us, knowing Christ means knowing him in the tough times as well as the good. So a mark of truly wanting to know Jesus is to be willing to stand with Jesus even when it's difficult and painful. So Paul is utterly realistic. He wants to know Christ even if it means to suffer, because he knows that suffering and knowing Christ is better than not suffering and anything else. And he is not just writing trite words. He is writing these words chained up in a Roman prison, chained between two Roman guards. He knows what it means to suffer. And he says, I want to know Christ, even if that makes me walk the road of suffering. Because I know that Christ is there with me in that road of suffering. I stand with him because I know that knowing Christ surpasses anything else. The question for us this new year is, will we make knowing Christ our aim? And will we make it our aim in times of discomfort as well as comfort? Will we make it our aim if trusting Christ leads us into difficulty as well as into ease? Paul urges us to have this resolution in mind, to know Christ this new year. But he wants us also to act as well. And he gives us this action, to press on. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. That is the full resurrection from the dead that he is hoping in. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, Paul is great at New Year's resolutions. He knows exactly how to make them. First of all, he gets his aim right. He knows that he starts with his desires, his goals, and it is to know Christ better. And secondly, he is not overambitious. He doesn't make a set of New Year's resolutions that's huge. He says one thing I do, and that one thing is to press on. He says it twice in order to emphasize it. It's there, first of all, in verse 12. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then again there in verse 14, I press on towards the goal. And if our aim this coming year and throughout our lives is to know Jesus better, then our action should be to press on towards that aim. And the word that Paul uses has a sense of deliberate pursuit of a goal. of going after something with energy and activity. Well, I don't know how you feel. Maybe if you were out late last night seeing the new year in, energy and activity seems far from your mind. It's great to see you here, by the way. It's lovely to see that people are willing to come out on a Sunday evening after perhaps celebrating the night before. But energy and activity doesn't seem to be perhaps the easiest thing to come by. But above all, what Paul is helping us to see here is that this is something intentional. You see, as we start this new year, it is tremendously helpful for us to understand that unless Christ returns, we will not suddenly and unexpectedly find ourselves more godly than last year. You see, we won't just simply ever drift into knowing Jesus better. Before we started the service, Hannah Hawksby was telling me of a book that she had come across, which was entitled How to Effortlessly Stop Sinning. It sounds a fascinating book, but I'm afraid it's not a very biblical book, because the Bible doesn't tell us that we can just effortlessly stop sinning. This is something that needs intention. It needs energy. It needs something to be pursued. God asks us to make this our calling, our aim, our pursuit, to know Christ better. And we are to press on with energy and intention to know Christ better in this coming year. And to help us, Paul gives us two aspects to this pressing on in verse 13. He says, first of all, that it is to do with forgetting what is behind. So verse 13, he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. I don't know what you feel about the year that's just passed, whether 2016 was a pretty good year, or whether you feel that 2016 was actually, frankly, rather lousy. I guess that there is much that each one of us would like to forget about the past year. Forgetting what is behind seems like a very reasonable and good thing to do, doesn't it? And maybe there's even stuff from our past that we continue to bring with us that we would benefit from leaving behind. So Paul's words seem to be very helpful advice, forgetting what is behind. Well, now, while there's wisdom in both those kind of forgettings, I'm not sure that's exactly what Paul has in mind here. You see, throughout this passage, Paul has been talking about the confidence that we easily slip into in having about the things that we do, the things that we achieve by our own efforts. So I think what Paul is encouraging us to forget here is to forget about our own past achievements. You see, simply put, he is encouraging us to understand that Christians can never sit on our laurels. We can never reach the point before Christ returns when we can say we have nothing left to learn in the Christian life. We can never go, well, you know what, 2016, that was a pretty good year for me on a Christian basis. I went to some great Bible studies. I joined a small group. That was great. I heard some lovely sermons. I prayed a bit, and that was great. And you know what, I think I did pretty well in 2016. I'm just going to coast in 2017. I did a lot. There's lots that I can be proud of. So let's just take 2017 easy. Let's not worry too much about all that Christian stuff. See, what Paul is saying is we can never, ever look back at our past actions and our past achievements and stop moving forward in our walk with Jesus Christ. We need to keep going forward. In fact, there are only two things that we can look back on with confidence. They are the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they are the day that Christ came and took hold of us, where we met him for the first time. Everything else we can leave behind and look ahead to what God is doing next. And so Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and then straining to what is ahead. Straining to what is ahead. I press on towards the goal. You see, as Christians, at the start of this new year, we look ahead to what God is going to do next in our lives. How our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to deepen. How God is going to do a new work in our lives to continue to transform us into the likeness of his Son. But we never ever do that passively or disengaged. Rather, Paul says, we strain towards what is ahead. And it's a fascinating word that Paul uses. It brings to mind an athlete vigorously pursuing the finishing line. And as you think about that, maybe your mind is cast back, what, about sort of 6 months or so, back to the Olympic Games in Rio this past summer. And all the pictures and the images, as we saw, of athletes straining to win the prize that was set before them, giving their effort and energy. Maybe your mind goes back to that picture of Usain Bolt winning the 100 meters. Do you remember that? Usain Bolt always seems to be so far ahead that in this case, he manages to turn around and give a cheesy smile to the camera as he crosses the finishing line. Now, I think Usain Bolt actually works a lot harder than he gives the impression of doing. But it's very easy, perhaps, to think of that as the image. Not straining, but kind of rather laid back, looking around, seeing what's going on, not really giving it full effort. Instead, you might want to think of another athlete. In Rio, the women's 400 meters was won rather controversially by Shawn A. Miller. She's an athlete from the Bahamas. And as she was running the race, she was in the lead until very close to the end, and she was beginning to feel pressure from other runners coming up either side of her. And so what she did, as she neared the finishing line, she threw her entire body across the line, diving to finish and indeed to win the race. Now, to be fair, there was some discussion about how exactly fair that was in a running race, that you could dive for the finishing line. But what you can never say is that she didn't give her full effort to that race. She wanted that prize. And here was someone who threw her entire body into it. She strained towards the end, and probably strained plenty of other parts of her body as well. And she hit the ground with such force and energy, she knew she'd given everything to finish that race. So what is our attitude to the Christian life at the start of 2017? Are we running the race rather like Usain Bolt gives the impression of doing? Laid back, taking it easy, seeing what's around, no problem at all if God does his work, but we're really not putting much effort into it. Or at the start of this new year, are we looking ahead to this year rather like Shawn A. Miller? Are we ready and willing to throw our entire person into the pursuit of knowing Christ, of knowing that that is the goal that we want above all else, and whatever comes, the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, we will throw ourselves completely into that goal of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, will you make this your goal and aim this year, to know Christ better? Whatever resolutions you've made, whatever resolutions you'd like to keep, whatever resolutions, frankly, you've already broken today, will you make this your resolve? Will you be able to look back at the end of the year and see and rejoice at how deeper and more wonderful your relationship with Christ Jesus is? And will you pursue that goal with all the effort and energy and strength that God gives to you? Will you help one another to do that? Will you help me to do that? Will we forget what is behind, strain to what is ahead, and throw our whole person in to what God is doing in our lives? Well, let's take some time now to respond to this call to know Christ and to pursue him above all else.